The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.
Trash is picked up by Bobby Berwin.
He's back, and he's back with a bat.
Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Greetings, programs. And do we have a treat or two for you in this week's Rapids podcast?
Ooh, he's right.
We will hear from the USA's number one, Tim Howard, on the season so far, the upcoming Gold Cup, World Cup qualifiers, and a year on from his last game with Everton. And after such a trying start to the season, with the team sitting at 1-6-1, sporting director Porig Smith steps up to the plate. We'll hear from him very shortly. But first, you know him as Richard Fleming, and so do I. He joins me, and we all want positive. We don't like dwelling in the negative, despite the fact that it looks like England outside in this dreary gray mess. We want positive. Do I dare ask you if you can offer anything positive from last Friday's loss to Vancouver?
Well, I can offer it. whether it's going to be accepted or thrown back in my face.
I'll take it at this point. Please offer up and see if I will receive it and if people will receive it. But please, by all means, offer.
Well, I mean, the positives to come out would be Gashi played 90 minutes, the first 90 minutes he's played since the end of last season. Tim Howard returned, though, you know, you've got to say Zach McMath has not really put done too much wrong in his absence.
Save of the week, 2 out of 3 weeks isn't bad.
Yeah, and the shots tally was a little bit more respectable. That aside, you look at the fact that it was another game for Mohamed Saeed. Alan Gordon got more minutes than he'd previously got. But, you know, that's about it, because we're in a results business. The result wasn't favourable. That's now 2 defeats in a row at home. That's 5 defeats on the bounce and the Rapid scoreless in the last 3. So having given you that crumb of comfort, then is the kind of stark reality. Yeah. But I think we saw small steps in the performance against Vancouver. Ultimately, though, the results have not been what any of us had hoped for. 1-6-1, and you and I were talking just before we started this recording, is that you look back a little moments in games. You know, you look at back at Badgie against Minnesota, hitting the bar from 5 yards out. The 2 chances late on in the first half against Sporting
Kansas
KC.
City. Yeah.
The game against Vancouver where, you know, Jordan Harvey's attempted clearance, which ends up going goalwards, is an inch to the left, and that's in off the post as opposed to off the post and across the line. So these are margins, and these are the sort of things that the bounce was going for the Rapids in 2016. It's not so far for them in 2017. You then add injuries, suspensions, which are our own doing, and the adjustment period, which we keep talking about, and obviously that's not, we can't be talking about that for much too much longer. So there are little glimmers of hope, but yeah, I mean, ultimately the scoreline tells you everything you need to know. That's kind of the ultimate test. You look at the website on a Saturday night, or, you know, newspapers on a Sunday morning, and all you see is the result. And the fact is, the Rapids lost 1-0. They're 1-6-1. They're bottom of Major League Soccer, and they've got work to do.
Let's check the panic-o-meter. So I'll ask you for the 3rd or perhaps 4th week in a row. According to the panic-o-meter, is it now time to panic?
I'm still saying no.
All right, I like it. See, there's more positivity than you were making it out to be.
7 out of the next 10 games are at home. There are tough trips to come to World,
next week.
World Cup hopeful Chicago.
Can the Rapids win the World Cup in Chicago on Wednesday night?
And then obviously Philly very soon after that, and then Atlanta is the other road game.
Hey, if CJ Sapong doesn't play in that game, then the Rapids will be fine. Eighth fastest hat trick in Major League Soccer history
impressive.
Last week.
And that's what you hope, that's kind of what we saw from the Rapids in 2015, where they had a rough start. Then they had that kind of amazing 4-0 win at Dallas, and everybody's thinking, wow, it's the real deal. And then, of course, fell away. So hoping that was a bit of a blip on the part of Philly, but we'll find out. Schuberg and Boateng, I think, have been only 2 players, but have been big losses. And I think we're realizing how big a loss Axel Schuberg has been. Still, we haven't seen this side at full strength. I'm keen to see, once they do return, and we've still got 26 games to play. Of course, even at this early stage, the Rapids have played 8 games, other teams have played 9 or 10. You want to be competing. You don't want to be playing catch-up, particularly as things get more competitive, particularly as games run out, particularly as other teams look to strengthen in the window, in the July window, as the Rapids will hope to do. But now is the time to correct the areas of concern. The Rapids are struggling after 8 games. You'd rather it's 8 games in than with 8 games to go. Still, there's plenty of time. Still, there's plenty of home games. And there's plenty of points to be had. But I think we're all of the opinion that the only way to address the struggle is, although we are talking about it, is not to talk about it. It's to go out there and do it. To go out there and do it. And that is kind of it's the medicine that will cure so many ills. The fans, you and I will not be going around with a blooming stinking head. It's like the Charlie Brown with the clouds. It's that kind of feeling, and it is. But you do feel a little bit. Well, we're powerless. We can talk about it. We can analyze it. We can discuss it. But
you can only do it so much, though. You can only do it so much before you need something else to talk. I mean, Michael Azira, we'll hear from him on the radio pregame show this week on Altitude Sports Radio AM 950. He said, you know what? He quoted a Brad Paisley song of all things. He said, behind the clouds, the sun is shining and it's going to poke through eventually. So we're just waiting for that window of optimism to become reality.
And you're hoping that it's Saturday, and you're looking for that catalyst. San Jose have got a little bit of momentum, 2 wins on the bounce against Minnesota and Portland. And momentum is a wonderful tonic. Momentum, and you couple that with confidence, and the Rapids have neither at the moment. Now, of course, they put on the brave face, as professional sports people do, of going in with that kind of bravado. But, winning breeds confidence, and then confidence and the winning you get, the momentum that you get from winning. The Rapids haven't got that at the moment. They need to build that. And I think it's going to be easier, in quotes, to build that momentum at home than it is with these road games coming up. So I think this Saturday's game is a key encounter. But you look at the stats against San Jose, 1 win in the last 15. And that 2-1 win last October was only the
2
second
goals
time.
For Kevin Doyle on that one.
Yeah, but that was only the second time in 31 meetings that the Rapids had scored more than a goal. And so these are always tough, tight, tense affairs. I don't expect Saturday to be any different. They've got Dominic Kinnear, who's a former Rapids player, and John Spencer, who was most recently an assistant coach here. So he'll know a bit about the Rapids. So they're going to have to spring a few surprises, and let's hope they're good surprises we see on Saturday afternoon.
People expect a 0-0 draw, which means it's going to be 5-4. We'll be right back.
The Colorado Rapids take on San Jose Earthquakes on May 13th at Dick's Sporting Goods Park.
Gosh, he's going to have a go, is he? Striking one off!
Bring your whole family, no matter what the size, courtesy of the Coca-Cola Family Plan.
Heston trying to call one! Marlon Heston!
Starting at only $30, you get a ticket to the game, a meal, and a Coke.
Doyle with a chance, and it's through! And a big save from Tim Howard.
Get your tickets now at coloradorapids.com.
Join us this Saturday with an afternoon home game against the aforementioned San Jose Earthquakes, a Quake side fresh from a resounding 3-0 home win over Portland Timbers last weekend, and a side that now has 2 former Rapids in key roles, as you mentioned, head coach Dominic Kinnear and his assistant John Spencer. And so to our first interview, he returned from suspension for the game against Vancouver Whitecaps FC. But with a man like Tim Howard, there's always lots of topics to touch upon. I decided by starting with his assessment of the season so far.
I think defensively has been tough. We've had 3 or 4 suspensions.
Yeah.
We've had injury to the big fella, we're looking forward to getting Axel back. So we've had to chop and change a little bit. Obviously, we've had 2 players leave who were part of the back 6. So when you look at the 8 games we've played, there hasn't been a lot of consistency. And I think when you have consistency, you get good performances and you get continuity, and we haven't had that yet, so we're looking forward to it. I think, if I'm being totally honest, I thought Friday's game it was a kick in the teeth because I thought we played well. I thought we performed well. We kept them at bay for most of the game, So when you talk about defensively, it was a very good game. But it was also a tough lesson in terms of, it only takes one. And so, there's... we're here every day trying to get it right, and we keep pushing ourselves. And like I said, I've been around a lot of teams, and you wouldn't know that it's doom and gloom because, you know, the guys are upbeat and they're trying to work hard and put things right. And I think it's the proper attitude to have.
This time of year, it's 1 year since you left Everton and your final sort of goodbye there. Emotionally, I'm sure it's on your mind. I mean, you're watching over there every week. But a year later, how's your mind, and how do you look back on that and now the new chapter in your life?
Great. You know, it's been a really good year for me. Certainly made the right decision in terms of coming here. You know, Everton's in my heart. It's the memories that I made there will last forever. So nothing changes in that regard. Obviously, we've got a lot to do here, and it excites me and it challenges me. And you know, this is a good group of guys to be around every day. So yeah, it's been a good year so far. Looking forward to the future.
How often do you keep in touch with people from back there?
Yeah, every week. You know, we're always talking about results, and still talk to a bunch of the boys on text group, and lots of laughs and banter.
Yeah, and something tells me that'll always be around.
Of course.
We'll move on to international. I mean, you got World Cup qualifiers, you got Gold Cup. First of all, I mean, there's some change, obviously, going on the U.S. men's national team. In your opinion, is it good change?
Yeah, you know, the results have been good. So, you know, I'm a believer that change is always good. And certainly for our national team, with where we're at currently with the players that we have, both old and new, it's been a good change. You know, Bruce Arena and his staff are, are sticklers for detail. And I've been around Bruce a long time. He's very demanding. And I think certainly that's what our team needs. Clearly, in the results have shown that. And I thought we've played, not only gotten the results, I thought we've played well. Yeah. So, you know, again, it starts all over again. It's like it disappears for a few months, and then here we are back at it, you know, Trinidad and Mexico with the friendly beforehand. So it's exciting times. Obviously, the Gold Cup will be its own beast, and we'll tackle that when it comes around. But these two games are massive for us.
Talk about Gold Cup in a second. But you talk about that difference in philosophy between Bruce and then Jurgen before him. Specifically, what is that difference, and which do you prefer?
Well, I think every coach has their own philosophy. I mean, that's the beauty of coaching. You know, you have an opportunity to, you know, stamp your authority on the team. And you know, with the national team, just kind of the turnover isn't as great as a club team. So it's always the same players and similar voices and same set of eyes. So, I think with Jurgen, we got some very good results. And clearly, you know, our World Cup performance and quite a few others in between there were very good. You know, but obviously time moves on, and it was clearly time for a new manager, and the decision was made. It's not really about my preference, you know. Coach rolls me out there, and I go play. I play for my country, and, you know, I cherish those moments.
Sure.
So, you know, again, I listen more than I speak, believe it or not. I know that's hard for people to imagine. But obviously we try and put the game plan in place, and I, at the back, as a senior player, I try and get that message across, whoever the coach is, you know, and then hopefully that can kind of spread through the team.
We talked about Gold Cup. I mean, World Cup qualifiers are one thing. Obviously, that's a goal. Some people sort of hold Gold Cup as like a secondary competition. I mean, where does it stand for you, and is it any different to you than any other match for the United States?
No, I think people with those opinions have never pulled that shirt on, you know, and so I can appreciate the fact that, they judge competitions differently, but we don't. You know, it's like I said, I've been blessed and fortunate to wear the shirt of the U.S. many times, and it never gets old for me. In fact, I cherish it more and more each time. And so, the Gold Cup is for us is the standard in our region. You know, we want to win it. We want to beat Mexico. It's kind of that balance of power always shifts, you know, year to year. So it's an opportunity for us to kind of stamp our authority again, and we take, you know, it goes without saying, we take it very, very seriously. So, you know, people sit on their couch and write blogs about what's important. I don't know that. I think every time I pull that jersey on, it's of the utmost importance.
Can you describe how it feels to pull on that jersey from the first time you did it till now? I mean, does it change? Does it get stronger, the feeling?
It gets stronger. I think, you know, the first time is like, you know, I was a kid. I was 22, I think. And, you know, just after my 22nd birthday. And, you know, it was a dream come true. And looking back, it was like the first step on this incredibly long journey. But I would say now it means more. You know, it means more to me now, because as you start to get towards the end and you realize, you know, when you're young, you think it'll just happen all the time. You know, you have these aspirations of playing however many games, however many tournaments, and then all of a sudden you blink and you're 38, and it's like, you know, enjoy those moments, because they're not always going to be around.
That's the beauty of goalkeeper, too, is you can extend that a little bit further.
That's true. That's true, yes.
So as we look forward just briefly to San Jose this weekend, I mean, obviously Chris Wondolowski is the threat, but San Jose is a team that you haven't had a whole lot of success against. Mm-hmm. The club has all over time. But, again, maybe this is the time to turn things around. And is there a difference even after a disappointing result last weekend?
Look, I think, you know, when you get to this stage – and we haven't, you know, the results haven't been brilliant, clearly. You're looking for just the one. You're looking for the one to turn. And what I would say is, you know, the performance in itself, and people have to realize there's performances and then there's results. And we played really well on Friday, you know, collectively and cohesively. Didn't get the goal we wanted, and certainly didn't keep the clean sheet we wanted. But, you know, from the inside of this team, We certainly took away from that game on Friday that we're moving in the right direction. Of course, it's baby steps, and people want results. We want results. Mm-hmm. But San Jose coming to town, it's another opportunity for us to play well again and turn the tide and get a win that we desperately need.
As previously discussed, the results have not been good as we'd have liked, and questions have been asked. Some have been answered, some have not, and some of which Richard Fleming put to sporting director Porrig Smith.
Porrick, a few questions for you. We all know, you know, the Rapids' current form, and there have been frustrations. Frustrations internally, we know. Frustrations externally as well with regard to the fans. Can you understand the fans venting that frustration?
Absolutely. I mean, we share those frustrations, as you said, internally as well as those expressed by the fans. This game and this business is all about winning, and ultimately we're not doing that at the moment, and we need to rectify that and make the necessary changes to ensure that we recapture the form that saw us compete last year and go deep into the playoffs. That's what we want to do. That's our aim. So absolutely we understand and share those frustrations.
Now, some of that has kind of come about through early season form, trades in, trades out. I mean, obviously injuries and suspensions play a part. How do you think the Rapids fared in that Minnesota trade?
Well, I think in every trade you have to look at how it's going to affect the team in the long term. And the way we look at this is, will this make us better? Does this enable us to continue forward with the plan that we have? And in that regard, we really feel like it does. It's never easy to lose good people and people that have played a role in kind of helping us to build the club and to move it forward in the last number of years. But you need to be able to kind of take a step back, understand what you're trying to achieve, what the club's trying to achieve, and then make the tough decisions when they arise. The key thing for us was we brought in Nana Boateng. Obviously, we saw the impact that Jermaine Jones was able to have on the group last year. And what we wanted to do was to really replicate the positive elements that Jermaine brought to the group. He may have only played a smaller number of games, but when he was on the field, he was hugely effective for us, and we really had our best results when he was out there. So that kind of forward momentum, the physicality, the drive, the desire to get forward, move lines both with your passing and with your own ability to drive with the ball. That was something we went out and looked for in the off season, and we had spent a lot of time scouting Nana Boateng, and were thrilled when we were able to come to an agreement with Man City to bring him in. And while we felt that it would take him some time to adjust to life here in the US, the altitude, obviously, the travel, new teammates, he did so very, very quickly, and we felt that now was the time. We needed to get him into the team, and we felt that he was going to be the number eight that would allow us to best succeed. And I think that was a huge element or a huge part of our thinking in looking at this trade. Another element was Saeed. You know, again, there's no doubt that if you look at our performance last year, it was built on the very, very solid, historically good defensive performance that we had. And that is our foundation. But we need to be more attacking. We need to be more balanced in what we do. You can't rely on being historically good defensively year in, year out. And a player like Saeed is somebody that we've tracked for a long time. You know, his passing, his ability to find passes between the lines and again move teams forward was very, very strong, and that was a key part of it. So as I said, it's a difficult trade, it's a difficult thing to do, But we were doing this with an eye on what the future would bring, making us better immediately in terms of upgrading to Nana Boateng, and also the future in terms of building an increased cap space, which would allow us to go out and get the attacking assets that we need to help us to become a more balanced team.
Well, one supplemental from that, and you mentioned cap space, without giving too much away, what does that put the Rapids in a position to do now? And is it something that they can do now, or we now have to wait until the next window?
Well, I mean, I think the window opens on July 10th. We've been over in Europe scouting quite extensively on a number of our targets, making sure that we've watched them, you know, on multiple occasions, so we have a real sense of who and what they are. That's a crucial thing, because I think one of the things that Pablo has done very well, and the players as well, is built a very strong locker room mentality down there. So it's important that we bring people in with the right mentality to fit in, so that they can contribute right from the start. So that's hugely important to us. What we're looking to do is obviously improve on the attacking side. We always want to make our team better in every area of the field, and we continuously look at that. But there's no doubt we simply haven't scored enough goals, and we haven't been good enough on the attacking side, and that's where we want to improve.
As fans, we look to the next game, to the next game, to the next game. As sporting director, that is your role, but also looking a little bit more long term. We've kind of checked that box. Short term, what can we expect in the next half a dozen games or so?
Yeah, there are certainly a number of things we can do short term, and I think one of the key aspects, or one of the key things we can do, is to become a little bit more consistent. Obviously, the injuries, the suspensions have led to a kind of a high turnover in terms of our starting 11, and I think we'll certainly look to get a more continuity there, and to look to put the same players out into those positions so that they can start to build partnerships and build relationships. And I think we'll see certain tweaks to try and ensure that we're getting more players into attacking areas, more players into the box, and again, continuing that evolution towards being a more balanced, attack-minded team.
So people would say goals were tough to come by in 2016. Why not during the off-season go out and get a proven goal scorer?
Yeah, that's something that we spent a lot of time looking at. And again, I think the fact that the seasons cross over the way they do with Europe is a challenge there. I think everybody's aware that we had a deal in place to bring another Ghanaian international in from Norway. Unfortunately, that deal fell through, and that really, that was disappointing, because we felt he would have had a real positive impact on the attacking side. Our next target ultimately chose not to come here. He wanted to leave himself open to go to China. And these things are disappointing, but we have our targets in mind. We understand who we want to bring in. But the key thing is not to panic. You need to make sure you get the right player, the right fit for the club, and not just do something for the sake of doing something. It has to be in keeping with the overall plan.
And part of the frustration, part of the fans' frustration, is that after a wonderful 2016, there are some saying, well, Was that the anomaly? Is this now the norm? Is this what Rapids fans have to expect?
No, absolutely not. I mean, we obviously want to build on the wonderful performance that the team showed in 2016, and we want to do that consistently. We want to be a playoff team year in, year out, and that's what we're trying to build here. I think ultimately, as I mentioned before, last year was built on a historically strong defence. And while that's something that will be our foundation piece, it's very difficult to rely on that year in, year out. So you need to be a balanced outfit. You need to be as strong attacking-wise as you are defensively, so that you're not simply reliant on one element of play. And I think with that comes some challenges. The transition period is challenging, and I think it's been made a little bit more so with some of the niggling injuries we've had. Obviously, at the start of the year, Gashi and Gordon were dealing with issues. Then as soon as Nana comes into the team, he gets two starts, and then, you know, unfortunately breaks three vertebrae in his second start.
Schuberg as well.
Axel as well, and Axel was a big part of what we did last year, really leading that defensive unit. And I think his consistency, his communication, his leadership skills have really been missed. On the attacking side, you know, these individual elements and these individual players were missed and are missed at the moment. But, you know, we feel comfortable with the group that we're building, with what we're pulling together, with the additions that we're looking to make over the coming windows. And I think ultimately the aim is to ensure that we're a balanced team that can consistently compete for MLS Cups and be consistently in the playoffs.
So if the club is tweaking as opposed to rebuilding, is there a timeline? Is there kind of that little element that you can give the fans to say this is going to be in place by that, or is it tough? Are there so many moving parts?
Well, we expect to compete in 2017. I mean, that's the bottom line here. There's no reason with the roster that we have in place that we can't get ourselves into the playoff position and put ourselves in a position to challenge this year. It's obviously been a disappointing start. I think, you know, after the first three games, we're 1-1-1, and we were disappointed to have our fixture with FC Dallas cancelled. It left us with almost a second mini preseason, 24 days without a game, which is challenging, and then obviously the injuries that and the suspensions as well, which we can't forget about, which came thick and fast after that. So that was a challenge, but we're only 8 games in. There's no reason why, with this group of players and with some of the additions we're looking at in the July window, that we can't put ourselves in a position to be competitive this year. And that's our aim. Our aim is to be competitive year in, year out.
John Methard, John Spencer, Connor Casey, the assistant coach. Has that impacted on the consistency of the coaching method? Is that, you know, the coaching approach, and you know, why the inconsistency there, and why the turnover?
Well, I think first of all, we're thrilled to have Connor Casey in. I think Connor obviously is somebody who means a lot to the club, remains the club's all-time record goal scorer, and I think he's somebody that's very much in keeping with Pablo's mindset and Pablo's mentality. And I think we have a nice balance downstairs now at the moment with, you know, obviously Pablo heading everything up, Chris Sharp, I think one of the best goalkeeping coaches in the league, Steve Cook on the defensive side, and now Connor on the offensive side. And we can see it just in the camaraderie amongst the group, the way the players have reacted to him and to the group as a whole, that it's a very nicely balanced group at the moment. You don't want inconsistency, but again, what I would say is that it's important to get the right people. And I think now at this moment in time, we have four very, very good coaches there, as well as a strong backroom staff with Miguel as a strength and conditioning coach as well. So we're in good shape now to move forward.
Some have suggested that the Rapids can often or tend to lag behind in terms of getting their ducks in a row for that first game of the season. The chopping and changing, the bringing in players after this season has started. How do the Rapids compare to other teams in Major League Soccer? And is that a fair assessment?
I think it's very similar. I mean, I think you only have to look at the mid-season windows over the last number of years and seeing the type of additions that have been made, whether it's a Dos Santos or a Lodeiro. Players need to come in during that July window simply because that's when the European seasons end, and that's when a huge number of players become available for transfer. So I think it's something that we all deal with. I know speaking to the other sporting directors and general managers around the league, it's issues that they face as well, and I think we'll continue to see that while the seasons are not aligned.
One of the suggestions from fans is that as a club, we don't communicate with our fans enough, and how tough is that to get that balance about giving a little that they'll be able to kind of gobble up, but not giving too much that all of the other competitors will reap from.
Absolutely. It's a very, very fine line. And while we want our fans to kind of feel engaged and to feel a part of the club and to be connected emotionally to the club, we have to be careful that we don't give away too much to our opponents as well, because they're obviously looking for every marginal advantage they can gain as they compete with us. So in terms of things like injuries, it's important that you kind of keep a certain amount of that to yourself so that the opposition can't predict with great certainty what team is going out at the weekend or can't get ahead of the curve on certain things. But yes, very, you know, we do want our fans to feel engaged, and we do want them to feel a part of the club. That's very important to us.
So if I was to throw out to you a little bone that maybe once a month you come onto the podcast and you bring fans up to date with areas that you're able to, again, without giving away too many trade secrets or without throwing a bone to the opposition. Is that something you'd be up for?
Absolutely. Always good to have a chat with you, Rich, and obviously to make sure that our fans feel as engaged as we want them to with the club.
There is Porig Smith chatting with Richard Fleming. Parting shot. This part of the Rapids podcast brought to you by Luna Sul Tequila. Made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques, Luna Sul Tequila. One sip and you know. What do you know?
Anybody who was at the Vancouver game, anybody who was watching on television, it was the moment just before.
What about listening on the radio? Why does it have to be watching on television?
Well, of course, they would have been. The picture will have been painted perfectly. with poise and
you're
panache,
so kind to me. You're so kind.
By Connor Maguhu.
Mr. Maguhu at your service.
It was the moment just before halftime in Mikhail the game
Williams?
Against Vancouver. The Rapids corner kick was cleared out to Mikhail Williams on the halfway line. Now, I know Jared Watts was jogging back into his defensive position, but most of Mikel Williams' teammates were still in or around the penalty area. What we saw, most in the stadium, most of those watching on television and listening on radio, expected Williams to pop the ball back into the mix.
Yeah. Where did he go, though?
Now, instead, after much deliberation of looking back and sideways and forwards, he went back to his keeper, Tim Howard, triggering, as we know now, audible groans from around Dick's Sporting Goods Park. The safe move was back, of course, but it was also a negative move. There was another moment earlier in the game when a break seemed on and you could see Kevin Doyle waving his arms, urging teammates behind him to close the lines and support the attack. They didn't. And what happened? The Rapids were outnumbered, they lost possession, and Vancouver then had 20 to 30 yards of free space with which to run into. 15 shots, one on target. On the one hand, fantastic. Fantastic that the team is prepared to, as we said last week, have a go. But just one shot on target at home? They're still not making the opposition defences and goalkeepers do enough work, and particularly here at altitude and in Commerce City. Those two examples mentioned suggest to me, from my kind of layman's standpoint, that there is still some kind of mental block preventing this side from taking risks, from being more offensively aggressive. Scared? Certainly, I think they're too cautious, too passive, too calculated, and maybe, as other teams come in here, becoming a little bit too predictable, not fluid enough in the final third. And some of that, as we've mentioned before, some of that comes with confidence. But I do also think that there remains a disconnect on the field, and that has to be fixed.
Well, in this month, the month of May, referees in MLS are wearing blue wristbands for Huntington Disease Awareness Month. Former MLS referee Terry Vaughn has been diagnosed with his fatal brain disease. To learn more, go to the Huntington's Disease Society of America website at hdsa.org. I was able to watch Terry Vaughn referee on a number of occasions, including Manchester United versus Bayern Munich at Soldier Field in Chicago, which he did a spectacular job, and the Iowan, one of the, I'd say, the greatest referees in United States soccer history. So our thoughts and prayers are with him and his battle against this. Again, the website is hdsa.org.
The Colorado Rapids take on San Jose Earthquakes on May 13th. Bring your whole family, no matter what the size, courtesy of the Coca-Cola Family Plan. Starting at only $30, you get a ticket to the game, a meal, and a Coke. ColoradoRapids.com.
That is a reminder that this Saturday's game against San Jose Earthquakes starts at 2 p.m., a special 2 p.m. kickoff here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. The game is live on Unimas as well as Altitude Sports Radio AM 950 with Mr. Fleming and I. All right. Everybody else is busy. It's the best they could get on short notice. We're sorry. Just bear with us, all right? We'll be at the top of the hour right at 2 o'clock. Mark Bertinoli will be in studio to get things going. And for Spanish listeners, my Spanish is not so good. Tune in to La Invasora, 87.7 FM. The Flem Dog and I will be pitch side just after 1 o'clock via Facebook Live with team news ahead of the fifth home game of the season.
It's also on, the game itself is also
on
Facebook Live as well, yeah.
And Unimas has been doing this for a couple weeks now, and early returns seem to be that people enjoy that medium of taking in MLS action.
It is. It's where the industry is going.
The future.
It is very much the future.
Well, your thoughts on the near future, this game against the Quakes. Like I said, this game has had 0-0, 1-0, basically written all over it for the past 6 years. Do we expect it to be any different on Saturday?
They're always very cagey affairs. I think the similar styles that these two sides play. Two goals from Kevin Doyle last season gave the Rapids a rare win. This is a San Jose side that is so often stubborn, physical, and they're coming into this game off the back of that solid home win last time out against Portland Timbers. They have 12 goals. The Rapids have 5. They have taken twice as many shots and almost three times as many as shots on target as the Rapid. They've got a 4-3-3 record, so they're in a reasonably healthy state. But as stated last week, we can talk and talk about what needs to be done, but we're not the ones that have to go out there and do it. That's down to the coaches to prepare, to best prepare the players, and then for the players to go out and try and execute that. And I'm not wanting to kind of sound flippant, but scoring would be a good starting point. And I don't want to come across as being flippant. But
we know.
But, you know, without stating the bleeding obvious, this is a Rapid side that has been built on, and we heard from Porrick Smith, this is a Rapid side that has been built on defensive stubbornness. And that's all well and good, as long as that defensive stubbornness holds. When it doesn't, as has been shown in a few games this season, you've got to offer up a little bit. And the Rapids, I think, have tried to transition to become more of an offensive-minded, not a kind of a gung-ho all-out, but they're trying to be a little bit more offensive-minded. And I'm going to throw you a few little, without giving too much away, I think we might see a few little changes this weekend. And I will leave it at that.
Ooh.
Just to whet the appetite.
Ooh. Ooh, consider it. Now, if that isn't a tease, I don't know what is. Well, a win would be most welcome. My goodness, what are we going to see? Can't even. Now this is all I'm going to be thinking about for the next 3 days. Thanks very much. And I hope you're thinking about it as well. So tune in on Saturday to find out what that is. Remember, no Mikael Williams. He suffered the two yellow cards in the match. Both of them went to Mikael Williams. The second of which came from the pocket of Yunus Meraki after he started the game as the fourth official, switched positions with Jorge Gonzalez, who had some hamstring damage. Gonzalez actually was scheduled to do Chicago and Seattle this week and had to pull out of that one. He's been replaced by Nima Sagafi, so that injury a little bit more serious than we thought, but it was very strange circumstance. So Mikael Williams, in I think an unprecedented manner, received two yellow cards from two different referees in the same match and got himself sent off.
He not the suspension. Best of games from Mikael last Friday. And another suspension that the Rapids are now going to have to endure. So there'll be more changes along the back line.
Which is something we've been quite familiar with up until this point. We'd love your support inside Dick's Sporting Goods Park. Visit coloradorapids.com for tickets. And if you do come, make sure to bring that radio. Tune in to Altitude Sports Radio AM 950. You can also listen online, altitudesports950.com, or the TuneIn app. Just search for Altitude Sports 950. You can listen live anywhere in the world. As always, thanks for your company. Thank you to Richard Fleming and all of our guests on this week's podcast. We'll catch you up live from Philadelphia next week. But in the meantime, we get our minds, bodies, and souls ready for the Rapids and the Earthquakes coming up Saturday at 2 o'clock. Until then, it's bye-bye for now.
The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.